Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Doom Slayers.
Yes, that's right. Our first live show is happening at Mayo Pride. How exciting.
I prefer ketchup.
We'll be bringing a special version of our cosmically acclaimed podcast with additional sketches, musical numbers, and of course, a lot of doom to slay on the 1st of June 2024.
Tickets are
8 euro and 0, 0 cents.
And are available on
www.mayopride.com.
Get your tickets now and slay it to our faces!
My granny used to say, like, if you showed her a picture, well, first of all, if it was a picture of me, she'd go, Jesus, we could hire you to haunt a house.
She's not wrong.
Welcome to Doomslayers, the podcast where we ponder and pontificate on the horrors of being a Homo sapien and what can feel like the conclusion of our earthly presence. My name is Layla Beatty.
I'm Donatella.
And I'm Annie Quarries.
And together we are three loose women. Woo! Here to guide you through the doom and gloom of our dystopian present with an asinine antidote of appalling advice so you may slay away the modern malaise. This week we were discussing and dissecting vanity. Do you think you guys are vain?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
definitely,
yes, yeah. Absolutely.
No, definitely a descendant of Narcissus. Yeah, we have a gazing pool here in the kitchen, in the apartment, and there's always one of us looking at
Yeah, can't look away.
Yeah, just like, so how was your day?
Yeah, can't really pass the reflective surface without looking. Like, I've caught so many times looking in a car window at my own reflection, only to find there is a passenger
staring
at me.
I did my lipstick one time in a car window and realized there was a man just like staring at me from the driver's seat. It was so embarrassing.
Oh,
I actually, funny story, when I don't know if I mentioned this before, just in case anyone doesn't know, but I used to live in France. There was a district called Debourg. It was kind of like a slightly dodgier side of town.
Nice.
And one night I was walking like towards the metro or whatever, and there was this I don't know what the word is, like hussy.
Oh.
Okay, well, it's definitely not hussy.
Can we say hussy? What's wrong with hussy?
Sex worker.
Yeah.
Okay, like, a lady of the night.
Well, I don't know if she was a sex worker, but she looked like one, you know.
Okay.
And she was like strutting down the street in her like high heels. It wasn't Paris, it was Lyon.
Excuse me.
But anyway, she was like walking down the street ahead of me and she was like strutting her stuff. And then she like literally just like slut drops down and like starts applying her lipstick while looking in a car rear view mirror. And I thought it was like the fucking fiercest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'd say you have to really like embody that kind of personality to succeed at sex work, you know.
Own it.
Yes, yes. I don't know. Well, I think obviously, I don't know, is it a modern malaise? Or I think, you know, obviously social media and all has made everybody more...
Oh gosh.
I'm sorry, I don't mean you saying that at
was
all.
Was my mic on?
Like, no, but like, I think we were always vain.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, because everybody curates their own story and everyone has like their own little kind of taste of fame, I guess.
Definitely. Like,
I think it's not a case that we're more vain. I think it's a case of now we have to be more vain because, you know, the standard now is the bottom line is higher. Do you know? Like, for instance, right? If you think about, well, maybe not our adolescence. I don't know about Annie's. Was there even mirrors back then? But
the water has always reflected, okay? Any puddle can be a vanity.
But actually, no, it is applicable to you. Because like, if you think of like the Bebo era, right? It was like the start of social media and like the absolute hack of everyone.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, like kids don't have like the ugly transition phase. you know?
No.
They're just like,
yeah,
perfect. They come out like already gorgeous because they've been watching like their little makeup tutorials forever, yeah, and stuff. So that's what I mean by like the baseline bar is like higher now.
Yeah, so fair.
So you can't really be walking around looking rotted like.
All the kids doing their 10-step skincare, going to Sephora, yeah, and all. That's,
yeah,
so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I started that when I was 14 though. Like I started wearing anti-wrinkle cream.
Dead right. Mm. And it definitely worked because you are snatched.
That's why you're always looking at me. It's because my forehead's so smooth. It's like
it,
a mirror.
That's why she always sits beside you. I'm actually and rubs
looking
off
at
you.
I'm looking at myself exactly, by looking at, yeah, you. But well, I think for personal growth and development, it's better to start ugly and blossom. It can be bad for the personality to be too beautiful too soon because you just kind of rest on that. Then
I agree. And
I can. It's better to start
pretty privilege.
Yeah, I think the ugly duckling arc is much. It gives you a more rounded personality. You know?
Yeah, definitely. The glow up.
Yeah.
I used to dream of being beautiful. And, you know, I still think any day now.
No, your dreams came true.
Sorry, yeah. I don't know why I tried to be humble there. But, well, it's not even like beautiful, but obviously I'm just like very happy with how I look now or whatever. But like, it's such a weird thing to spend like years thinking I like Daphne on Scooby-Doo was like my hero when I was young, and like I was obsessed with
I see the obsession has ended.
Yeah,
Velma,
Sarah Michelle Gellar,
Buffy the Vampire, yeah, Slayla.
So many Sarahs with loads of names. yeah, but I was obsessed with Sarah Michelle Gellar when I was young and stuff like that. And like, anyway, now sometimes I just think like, oh, 5-year-old me would be very happy to see what I look like now.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to approach things, isn't it?
But why is it that whenever you're in the moment, it's always so hard to like see yourself clearly, I think. Well, I don't know. Like it's always in retrospect, you're like, oh, I actually was not ugly when I thought I was.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's obviously like as you grow and change how you feel about yourself, you can maybe look back with like kinder eyes. But at the time when you're in the vortex, you know, I think it's so spooky to me, like how your brain can like interpret what it sees in the mirror and totally distort as well.
Well, isn't it that whole thing of like you only ever see yourself backwards?
Yeah. No, this is so funny that you mentioned that. No, because I am when I was like 16, I got a passport. Now, I'm telling you, this was the ugliest.
Was this
picture
for the coffin ship, was it?
No,
for the Titanic.
No,
I
just stowed away on that. No, when I was 16, right, I had to get my first passport and I went to got like passport pictures. I don't know. Like, I just don't think I was like very aware of how I looked. Now, if you listened to earlier episodes, you will know that I did at this point have a lesbian bob.
Okay, yeah.
But I wasn't so self-aware that I was like, you know, addressing my monobrow. You know, there was a level of, I'm not going
to
say neglect.
Do you still have to pluck a monobrow?
Well, it's been plucked so long that it's never really come
anyway
back. Yeah, it's just the odd hair here and there, you know.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, but
bit of RT2, room to improve. Basically.
Yeah, a lot of room to improve. No, it's, what's that other one? Cheap houses in Ireland where they're like shacks.
Oh God.
No, it was not good. And I went to one of the booths to get my photograph taken in, I believe it was Roach's Stores at the time. Which is now, which then became Debenhams, which is now Zara. When the pictures came out, I think I just had a complete identity crisis that lasted for the next 20 years because I was so horrified. And like, I've looked back in the picture at many different stages in my life and I'm like, yeah, still fucking boot. Like Quasimodo, the house down, just
yeah,
like.
But bad pictures can just be taken sometimes.
And it just basically highlighted all the asymmetry in my face that I had not been aware of at that point, but like it was like so exaggerated that it was like, oh, I'm a monster. Yeah. And I, even though I hated the picture, I was like, well, I guess this is what I have to use my passport.
Yeah.
So I just used it. I didn't do it, get a second go. But I think I was
so
like
annoying.
So disgusted by the picture that I was like, if I can't do that again, like what comes out worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
when you're in case, you don't really know either. Like you're just like,
yeah,
okay, I'll just take it.
Yeah. Cause
never
yeah,
argue that. Nowadays I'd be like, show me that. No.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be like Victoria Beckham in the DMV in America. Going 100%. Literally. Do you do post?
But I'm so annoyed at my parents for being like loving and being like, it's lovely. They should have been like, no, sorry, we'll get that. We'll do that again.
It's so important. It's so important, especially at that age, like, because you're like, you can't really brush it off, but like, you have like your shitty like kid one, because the kid ones are like for 5 years, so like, who cares? Like, but you're like, oh, my next one's gonna be absolutely slay, like, and then if it's not, you're stuck with it, so then it feels like it really defines you, when it really doesn't. It's just a stupid document. But like,
yeah, but if I really did feel defined by it, like, I, because for some reason that became my reference for how I looked.
I
was like, that's
just
what,
me that stripped.
Like, it was so horrifying. And thankfully, it was only a 2-year one.
Oh, good.
So when I turned 18, I'd got my hair cut, sorted out my skin. And also, it was before they were really strict about the poses you could do in the passports. You know, the way they have, like, basically, like, an algorithm telling
you. Shoulder.
I did sort of, like, a three-quarter, almost. I was, like, coquettish.
Yeah.
But and for some reason, the colour was, like, it was, like, it was kind of like Hype Williams' music video, which is, like, really, like, really saturated.
Oh, the space age ones.
Yeah. Really saturated. And because I'd started my hair journey then of, like, the Tony and Guy hair journey.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
It was, you know, there was all sorts of bits going on. But it looked cute in this picture. And it kind of looked like I was, like, an extra from, like, Britney Spears' video for Crazy or something. But then I got arrested. It was kind of like a mugshot directly after the video.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm happy with this. This will do.
My my second last passport pick was definitely Slay. Like,
oh, yeah.
Everything went really well. And then I was like, grand, I know how to do it now. So whenever I was doing my last passport, like, sent it in. And it was gorge going in. And then whatever they fucking do to you.
Oh, yeah.
Washed out like the fucking Shroud of Turin. Like,
honestly.
It's now my identification. And then, oh my God. Then I got my license last year. And I was
license
like,
for what?
To thrill, honey. No, my professional license, which I have not exerted any use out of yet. But I was all excited because I was like, yay, I get to take like a new picture now. It's going to be gorge. Like, and they fucking used the picture that was taken the day I got my public services card
on
a webcam in the social welfare office on Delir Street. That's who I am.
Criminal.
Literally.
Jail for those
people.
When
I got my PSC card, I think it was in Dublin somewhere anyway, and I made her retake loads of times.
Oh, dead right.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. But I hate as well how, like, you're always get a greenish tinge put on you. Like, in your passport and everything. They make you green. Like, nobody's going to look nice with that.
When I started college, we had to get our photos taken for our ID cards. And one of my friends from school, when she was going through... Just as the photo was taken, she sneezed and they made her keep the photo.
No!
So she literally looks like she's having some sort of spasm in her photo. She had that for 4 years.
Yeah, no,
isn't that just criminal?
I remember my Maynooth one as well was like, again, wasn't that bad initially, but then whatever they did to it, the stretch and the tug and the pulling.
The aspect ratio. Yeah. It was an aspect ratio. No.
Yeah.
My granny used to say, like, if you showed her a picture, well, first of all, if it was a picture of me, she'd go, Jesus, we could hire you to haunt a house. But
she's not wrong.
And then she'd say,
that's iconic.
She'd say,
that is brilliant.
She'd say, that is beautiful. And I'd say, no, I don't like that picture. Like, look at this or whatever. And she'd say, well, if you think you look any better than that now.
Wow.
How humbling.
That is very humbling.
That's what I used to get. No, I'm joking.
Wow. Oh, God, no. If she had said that to me about my passport picture now,
that's what I was thinking when you were telling that story. I was like,
I would have just kind of got pumped to bits. That wasn't even invented at the time. Oh, I don't know what I would have done. Vanity is like a huge part of queer culture as well. And I'm sure there's like many psychological reasons for that, many trauma response type reasons. I definitely feel like controlling my appearance was like a form of like armor.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, because I think, you know, when you're queer or whatever and you're trying to figure that out, your whole kind of identity kind of gets like appropriated by everybody around you, and everyone's telling you what you are, and everyone's telling like this story about you before you've even figured it out. And so I definitely felt like, you know, a loss of control around how I was perceived. Mm. So I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to lock everything else down as much as I can.
Yeah.
So I keep talking about hair, but hair is my whole identity. I don't know why. And that's why it was so
it's
tragic.
It's your crown and glory.
But when I was, before it became the bob, it was like in the curtains, you know, the 90s curtains.
Oh yeah. Gorgeous.
And I was really obsessed with it being like very shiny and very flat. Because I just didn't want any kinks or any frizz. So I used to wash it at night.
Not at that time.
So I used to wash it at night. And then when it was still wet, I would like blow dry it to like damp. And then wear a tight hat.
Yeah.
And go to bed.
I used to do that too.
Did you?
Yeah, because my hair is so like thick. So like to get it to like fucking like sit down. Or even if before a night out, I'd like ram a hat on while I was pre-drinking.
Oh my God.
So that my hair would be flat.
Oh, I feel so seen. But yeah, no, nuts.
Vanity is becoming way less important to me these days, I think. But like, especially like at the beginning of like transitioning and stuff like that, you want to be the most beautiful one. Mm. I think it is like the armor. Cause like still, if I'm like on my own or I'm going into a situation where I'm intimidated, which will happen like once every 5 years. My appearance will become very important to me. Like if I'm on the way to something where I'm a bit stressed or whatever, I'll be like constantly looking at myself and all that kind of thing, because it is an armor in that way. Like, I was on a TV program once and I got ripped apart on Twitter because I kept touching my hair during it. And I'm like, how can you not see that was stress? But the whole like armor thing. I just wanted to mention I was on TV there. I don't really know what it has to be.
You being on telly is done as I lived in France.
Oh, honestly. Yeah.
And for me, it's I had long hair.
It's your lesbian bob. Yeah. Or the mullet. Yeah, like literally your hair journey. I would feel the same as well in terms of armor, definitely, and identity. And because I definitely care a lot about like the way I look and... Mm. When I want to go out and make an impression, like, you know.
Oh, hell hath no fury with Donna when she thinks she has bad hair.
Oh, but that
does change your mood.
Send me insane when I was younger. Like, I would throw full-on fits, like, in my teens, like, being like, I don't want to go to this function because my hair is not right, like, you know. But I've got a better handle on it now. Yes. Just a better handle on my hair dryer. it was a bit loose. It's like a bolstering thing, definitely. Yeah. And it's funny how, as queers, like, it becomes very important, but I think it's because, you know, if we take the like archetypal like straight guy or whatever who doesn't care about how he looks because he doesn't have to prove anything,
yeah,
do you know, whereas like, you know, ladies have to dress up and look their best all the time, and I think the gays then kind of get that as well, where we have to look like our best, or like look, that's where it comes from, about like not wanting to look like shabby or disheveled or anything, you know.
Yeah, it's like, don't let them see a sweat. It's like, it's kind of like,
it's your empowering. Armor, it's like you're polishing your armor.
But it also, I guess, in a way becomes a prison, because then you can get obsessed with it, and then you feel like disempowered when you don't feel like you look good, which is not great. Like going to a gay club or a pub used to absolutely send me into like an insecure spiral. I'd be like, where's my whitening strips? I need to, you know, I'd be afraid of being judged by other gays. Weirdly, even though, so I don't know what that's about.
But like, it's funny because everyone is like literally just too concerned with how they look to be going around going like, stay to you.
Or like, you know, the panic before going on a foreign holiday.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, I used to be like up the walls, like not eating bread for like a month before because I'd want to be vacuum packed.
Like, wrapping yourself in cling film.
But like, as soon as you go like on the holiday, you break that. So like within 2 days, whatever like carb deficit you've been on has been reversed and overwhelmed by the bread and booze that you're eating, which is exactly what you're there for, do you know. But that was like, holidays used to be really stressful for me because like I'd be really self-conscious all the time about how I looked, and I'd get so obsessive about like my body changing in response to like the excess of the holiday. Mm. So, and also all the inactivity, I would just be like, oh. So I don't know. I just was like not chill on holidays at all. Just wouldn't let myself just like be, because I just was so concerned about how I looked.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. Well, when I had not a fun. Million nervy bees, I remember a lot of it was to do with like, well, a lot of stress was powered by like how I felt that I looked and stuff like that. And I remember a doctor saying to me, like, you have to accept maybe that like you don't have to like how you look every day. Yeah. And I was like, no, that's not an option.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, like seriously, like not everyone, you cannot let it, a perceived flaw ruin everything for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, that idea shook me to the core. And now I go places with greasy hair and everything. Like I used to, and I mean, producer Niall was in college with me. I used to dress to the nines to leave the house for 10 minutes to go to the shop. Yeah. I could not. It was so stressful.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to wear, well, now I blame Carrie Bradshaw for this, but I used to wear the most inappropriate shoes. You should see the state of my feet. Like, they're horrific.
We have. Those swamp hooves.
Now when I leave the house, I turn around and I say, well, these bunions aren't going to build themselves.
Bloody footsteps everywhere when she takes off her shoes.
I do bleed a lot, though, my feet. But there was a time when I first stopped wearing heels and started wearing flats where I had to teach my arches to go flat again because they were so...
Come on, Barbie.
It was so sore.
That's kind of fierce.
Yeah, I know that is fierce.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, it doesn't feel fierce. and like, yes, I've very much accepted that I won't even be able to wear a sensible block heel by the time I'm like 50 because my feet already kill me with a little bit of that.
Probably COVID broke it,
actually. But what was I talking about? Oh, being in the hospital and all. Yeah, because like obviously, well, I don't know if I've said this on this podcast before, but like I was severely anorexic when I was young. And in a way that starts from a form of vanity and then becomes a whole other illness.
Mm.
I had no other reason to bring that up other than just for a sob story. I'm loving the attention today, girls. I really am.
She's a bit insomnia. She's a touch of insomnia. So it's making her maudlin.
I'm having really bad insomnia at the moment. It's horrific. Speaking of going crazy. Speaking of bad transitions.
You should really take the mirror off the ceiling above your bed, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what's keeping you up at night.
I know, I got lost in it. But it's so good for introspection.
Yeah, a gazing pool, yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. I do have a Barbara Walters style question for everyone.
Oh, God.
Any queries? Do you think you're good looking?
I don't. It depends on the day.
Right.
Sometimes I can be like, you know what? And then other days I refer back to the passport picture. I'm like, that's the real you.
Right. Okay.
But I think I look better than ever at the moment.
Mm.
But I also feel better on the inside than ever. Mm. So I think the two are linked inextricably. And I think in the past I had such a distorted view of what I looked like that basically it was a completely unreliable witness.
Mm.
Do you know? But then I've also realized recently that like, because I don't know, I've always had this thing where like on one side I have a fear that I'm ugly and then I have a belief that I'm ugly. But then I'm also trying to avoid evidence to confirm that. So I'm always trying to find evidence to show that I'm not.
Right.
But then I was like, wait, I only realized this recently. I was like, wait, but like by whose standard? Like who am I referring to determine? Why am I letting like something else determine if I think I'm gorgeous or not? Like I can just decide.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Mm.
So yeah, I think I am nice to look at.
Well,
generally.
I'm sorry to hear that, you know, it's not always easy for you. And Donna and I have a song for you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. For when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know. You don't know you're beautiful.
No, we don't want to get sued.
You don't know.
Yeah, copyright.
That was too many seconds, I think.
That was gorgeous. Thanks, girl.
I do not know where that was going.
Yeah, the harmonizing.
What about you, Donna?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, my like history is a bit marred as well because I spent like most of my life growing up thinking I was hideous and fat and revolting and all these kind of gorgeous things.
Were you a fat kid though?
I was chubby, like I was never fat, but I think there was just a few instances in my childhood that clung on for dear life.
Of course, yeah. But if you're perceived as fat as a child, it's like you're gonna get.
Yeah, there was like small things, you know, and like, you know, changing room kind of things, and you'd feel like a bit of a fucking, like everyone's looking at you, and then someone says one thing, and then like that's literally like what everyone's thinking, you know. Mm-hmm. So a few things like that, and I don't know, like in terms of like good looking, like I think I always thought I was like a foot, and then I realized I was like, well, I'm actually not that bad, do you know? But I know I could be way better. Better looking, but I know that I'm not like bad looking, do you know? So it's kind of like that, but again, yeah, it depends on the day. And especially like, I don't know, is this like just because it's from your own personal perspective, but like I see other people wake up in the morning like, and I'm like, oh grand, like guys especially, you know, wake up and they look the exact same, and then I wake up and I'm like fucking Einstein electrocuted like from the grave. Like
I look like a fucking swamp witch. Just me, good hour of prep before I look human again.
Yeah, that's why I said some guys. But like, yeah, like I remember like when I used to have longer hair, I'd wake up and it would literally be like all over the place, and like my, even yesterday, like I woke up, my fucking lips were all swollen and like my eyes were like baggy and like face was swollen. I was like, what the fuck, like how can I look this bad in the morning? Like,
well, that's just the peanut allergy, I think.
Yeah, well, if you stop rubbing them in my tongue when I'm asleep.
The plumpy nut.
But yeah, like I think I'm grand, like basically, do you know? I'm not like as horrified by myself as I used to be. Always doing the whole thing of like, yeah, I need to get fit and I need to get fierce and all that. But like it's less, it's like, oh, I need to get better rather than I need to get something going, do you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about you, Leila, darling?
Yeah, I think I'm good looking.
Good.
I like looking at myself. I always smile when I see him. Like, I can't look at my reflection for like more than a few minutes. I go,
stop.
Sometimes I give myself a little wink.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really, really, really healthy way. And like, I'm very comfortable being naked in front of mirrors and stuff like that. And I think like, if you're not, then it's like a shame.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I don't think you should be afraid of yourself. Yeah, because like obviously when you look at yourself, like I can still do that. Like I can point out a million flaws if I want to, but like there's just a way to like stop your brain going through that as well. But, like, I'm not a therapist, so I'm not going to try and explain that anymore. Do you think the fact that we all started out in our youths as like maybe not feeling very attractive is part of the reason why we worked so hard to have personalities?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you definitely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, like, yeah, like, if I didn't have a personality when I was a kid, I would have been absolutely hopeless because, like, I wasn't good at anything cool. Yeah. You know? So the only cool thing I could do was be funny, you know, because other than that, you know, I couldn't do sports or, like, anything like that.
Was being the piano smart, not cool?
Oh, not, didn't get cool until... like Katy Perry became a thing because then I started learning pop songs on the piano. Lady Gaga saved my life. Like, no, because I used to play like classical and shit. But then in secondary school, I started playing pop. So that's when, it was like the guy who played piano in School of Rock. Like, it's that level of cool. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the guitar is cooler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is cooler.
And drums.
I feel during my teenage years, I was like stressing so much about like, navigating into the right groups and stuff because it was real protection for me. So like I got very obsessed with like popularity and stuff like that, but like that was because I was like I wasn't in a great school and like I was very feminine obviously because I was a girl, but like I had to like work really hard and I'd be like studying everything I did all the time. It was such an exhausting way to live, but I'd be like, oh, that person likes it when I act like this, that person likes it when I act like this, this person thinks this is this kind of humor is funny. That really helped me develop like a sense of humor.
Yeah, I think
that makes sense, because I don't think I started out being particularly funny. I think it was like a process.
Yeah, well, I guess it's something that like it's a skill that you can develop. And
I think some people have it naturally. I don't think it came naturally to me.
I definitely learned at a certain point that if I like reflect back to people what they want to hear, that they like you because you're telling them what they want, but they think that it's coming from you. So they associate that good feeling with you. And that
I'm rethinking, like, every time you called me beautiful.
No, that's different. I love to give genuine compliments because I do like to reflect back what I genuinely see about people,
yeah,
and what I find beautiful. Mm-hmm. But as a tool to, like, once I left school and I was determined not to be a big loser, I was, like, kind of really determined to, like, make connections and make friends. And I just found that, like, if you ask people questions about themselves and then just, you know, make them feel good, then they like you.
Yeah.
They want to be around you. Mm-hmm. And so after a while, that did work, obviously. And I was great. I was happy to have friends, but it does kind of get a bit lonely after a while because, like, you're basically just being a mirror for everyone.
Yeah.
And you're not really letting anybody know you.
Right, yeah.
But they thought they knew me. Because we had a great rapport, but I didn't really say anything about myself.
Because you couldn't risk that.
No.
Because then they go, oh.
Oh, God. Oh, close the curtains. So.
It's alive.
So, yeah. But so then it took me, like, years to unpack that as well.
Mm.
And stop doing that.
Yeah.
So I think, like, the vanity and, you know, being charming and all that, it's all kind of armor.
Mm,
definitely.
But I'm obviously it ends up being a really, really useful. But I think the way you use it as you grow older has to change. Otherwise, it becomes, like, detrimental.
Yeah, 100%. But, like, I mean, everyone you look at in media or performance and stuff like that, like, they all didn't have great starts.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. Well, sure, famous people just aren't well.
No,
they're,
God,
they're
no.
So unwell.
No.
As I said, I think a few episodes back, and that's because none of us got enough love in our childhood.
Yeah.
No, literally.
Operator, give me a direct line to the Doomslayers.
Yes, you can now dial a Doom with our Doomslayers hotline, available on WhatsApp. Simply drop us a text or voice note on
0894940084. Anytime, anywhere.
Please do not ring. Please do not contact after 6 p.m. Service not available in Chernanog, the Sea of Tranquility, or Roscommon.
Right, well, we do some questions, girlies. We have a few about vanity-related things. But before we start with that, we have exciting news. Oh my God, Donna, we should get a soundboard. Annie would love that.
I want the record to show I do not want a soundboard.
Yeah.
Although I think I could get on board. No, I already hate it, even as a joke.
We would use it against you so much.
No, exactly. It would just be like the pranks episode all over again, yeah. But all the time.
We have part de from...
Gang, gang, go away.
Yes. Thank you. I forgot the name.
This is so exciting.
It's oh, my
very
God.
Very exciting. Who is going to read it out?
This is like when the Joker sequel dropped. Yeah. The trailer. I'm like, oh, my God.
This is like Sister Act 2, back in the habit.
Yeah. So we've had a wonderful follow-up from our letters episode, which was Catching Up with Correspondences 1.
Mm.
So if you recall, if you haven't listened, go back and listen. But there was a listener there. Called various names because me and Annie were riffing for a while, but we settled, I think, on Gang Gang Go Away.
Yeah.
And we asked them to get in touch to provide more context to their problem, which was related to their friend asking them to participate in their gaining kink. And gaining is a kink that fetishizes people gaining muscle or
mass. Yes.
Well, we weren't exactly sure whether they were being asked to participate or whether they were being used as an ear, like, because it was too different. Like, if they were just freaked out by their friend's kink, we were going to kind of give out to them, I think. But
yeah,
I haven't read the question. I don't know what the follow up is. But
we just needed more info.
Yeah. I'll read it now, but it seems that we may have got a few things wrong.
Okay, us misinterpret.
I know.
I so won't hear of it.
I bet you I got it right. I bet you I did.
Okay, right.
Okay, part two of the friend asking me to participate in their gaining kink.
Ooh.
So I met him and told me more about it, and he wants me to feed him and all that.
Oh.
And it's quite obvious that he's getting off to it, and I don't feel comfortable as he's in a relationship.
Oh.
I told him that I wouldn't participate in his kink and asked him to speak to his boyfriend about it. He said he already did, and the boyfriend isn't into it, and judged him for wanting to put on weight. I mean, I'm friends with him, but I'm also not a sex therapist for them. So yeah, I don't know what to do here, as he's quite adamant and only trusts me out of our other friends. Sorry for the vagueness before, sad face. Don't be sorry.
That's okay, babe.
We love you.
We love you, game. Come over here.
We love vagueness.
Yeah.
You've now given us 2 episodes of content, so you're our favourite.
Best girl.
So gaining... in this case, is gaining weight, gaining muscle.
Yeah,
is
so
it?
Feeding. It's so gaining. It seems is more. It's not necessarily muscle worship. It's more about making someone like
bigger,
be it muscly or fat or whatever.
Yeah. Well, if the friend wants to come over here, I'll feed them. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, I love cooking.
Chicken pot pie.
Yeah.
I'll just get a funnel.
Mm.
Blend a chicken pot pie into a paste.
Blend a whole chicken.
And then, a whole rotisserie chicken with gravy.
Why is this so like at the end there, they're saying that they're very adamant about it and only trust me out of all. Like, why is it so important and pertinent that this needs to be fulfilled?
So this person has gone to their boyfriend, said, the boyfriend said, I'm not into it or whatever. And maybe it's made your man uncomfortable, and he's like he feels much more safe with his best friend or something like that. I don't know. He might be insecure about the kink. But yeah, like, he's trying to force it on the friend now, which I don't think is okay.
Yeah.
He needs to either break up with the boyfriend and find someone who wants to do it with him.
Yeah.
Or decide to stay with the boyfriend and find someone who wants to do it with him, or give up on the idea, because why is he trying to force it on his best friend? I'm not okay with that one now. And he's right, he's not a sex therapist.
Like, no. And it's kind of like, isn't it odd to be sort of like doing a survey in your social group? Like, who can I get to feed me this chicken? And just asking around.
But like, why, like, being like, you're the only one who trusts me, like being all fucking like, help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Yeah.
Like... sure, like, if nobody wants to do this, I just don't think that's part of friendship. Like,
no.
You're not obliged to do that as a friend. And by them being like, but you're the only one who understands me, is like putting them in a weird position. So they're being like manipulative.
There are kink communities. Like, there are websites for this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they can find someone
Get
to participate with
Dundee or whatever.
Yeah.
Hire someone.
I'm not going to say the name of what the website is, but you know it.
Oh, I think, is it Locanto, is it? No. What's Locanto again?
I have no idea what that is.
That sounds like
a movie by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No one's joking. That's like
that sounds like a discount.
Locanto
website.
Is an Irish classifieds website. I remember hearing about this in college.
Oh,
casual encounters.
Fet life is the kink one.
Fet life.
Yeah, like fetish life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the friend needs to find their feeding tribe and should cease to request the service from their friend. And if the partner is not willing to engage, and that is a deal breaker for the feedee, then they might need to review their position in the relationship. Because if it's a strong need, it obviously is.
It clearly if it's been having this big of an issue.
I think, you know, it might be it's not wrong to have it fulfilled, but there's definitely a way to go about it.
But if they feel, you know, like judged by their partner as well, I don't like that either. Like the partner trying to judge them for putting on weight or whatever.
Yeah, I think Gain Go Away does need to tell Mr. Gain
to go away.
And politely say, like, thanks, but fuck off. Like, I'm not doing this for you. I don't have to do this for you. I don't want to do this for you. And you can go whatever. Do therapy with your boyfriend, or figure all that out, or pay for someone else to do it, or find a friend who does through the kink community.
What a fitting name you two came up with for this.
Oh my god.
Prophetic.
It was prophetic. It
finally
was.
Made a useful addition to this podcast. Congratulations.
And just to clarify, we are not kink shaming at all.
No, not at all.
I'm very against kink shaming.
I'm encouraging that kink.
But
Annie's not against kink shaming when it comes to her hair. Other than that.
Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up again.
I just don't want kinks in my hair.
Wait, did you have long hair?
Let me tell you all about it, girls.
But yeah, no one is obliged to fulfill a kink that they don't want to be a part of.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And it's okay to ask, but it's also okay to say no and then just move on.
Yeah, move on. That's the step that needs to happen now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you think when they're like, if they go out for like a meal, do you think they're like, oh, he's probably loving that hot dog now?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's probably put a whole new spin. Or he's like, going like, can I have five guys?
Can I have some of yours? Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, sure. And he's just like sitting there like, oh, yeah, making his mouth open.
Oh my God.
What's the sexiest food, do you think?
Oh, God.
I think chicken tenders.
Oh.
Chicken tenders.
She said that with a really lustful expression.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah, because they kind of turned me on. I really like them.
Chicken tenders.
Like, not in a sexual way, but like.
Is that why you love a mad egg?
Yeah, I love a mad egg. Exactly. And like, now, actually, I'm not mad about the tenders, mad egg, I have to say. Don't sue me. Because I love the burgers. No, but like, on a date, I could imagine like us splitting a little thing of chicken tenders. Chicken tender. You know, as
your hands touch, as exactly. You like go for the same tender and you go, fuck off, that's mine.
Like his chicken finger goes into the sauce and, oh, I have to stop talking about this.
Oh, goodness.
I need a napkin for my seat.
Okay.
I might have revealed too much there. You say sexy food, now I feel weird.
Oh, I don't know. I prefer
like
to keep
strawberries are sexy and that kind of thing. Like, yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of like a thing you'd share between you.
I would say a nice piping cup of Bovril.
I thought you might say something from like
from the bunker.
Those things you love, the spam. Those pastries filled with beef or whatever they are, like pancake things filled with beef.
Oh, the crispy pancakes. Listeners, is anyone aware of the crispy pancakes?
I think we talked about it already on an episode, didn't we?
They're frozen. They're almost like a calzone type structure and they're filled with mystery meats.
Is this like an empanada kind of?
That's a very fancy word for what they are.
Like
no, they're made
things,
in Ireland.
They?
They're one of these, like, you know, like a Granby Burgers kind of vibe, like made in Ireland, 50-year-old company.
Like a Rustler.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they're frozen. They're fab. But they're also disgusting.
They look like.
Oh, they're trash.
Bunker food, like, honestly.
I've never seen them.
Yeah, I don't know.
She has, you eat them. She has a freezer in her bedroom.
I'm just too busy.
That explains
them.
The mini fridge in the room.
Yeah, just absolutely having a wank with a crispy pancake. Okay, so I have one from a listener called Duck Blips.
Blips,
as in blips. Like it was a bit blip. Of a blip. Yeah. Okay. My girlfriend is 26 and just got lip injections without telling me. She looks really fake now and I'm worried she has some serious self-esteem issues that need attention. Am I right to be upset over this?
Okay. I wish we had more info on the self-esteem issues, possibly. Is he just saying that or has she shown evidence of that?
But why is he upset? Because he doesn't like the look of
them. He doesn't like the pumped look.
Did he say 26?
Yeah.
Darren! No, I'm just kidding. I don't know my lips.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Let's pair back.
So
you're with someone. Obviously, looks are a big part of that initially.
Yes.
Right. But if you truly like someone,
yeah,
them getting a little bit of filler or putting on a bit of weight or, you know, getting a little bit of work done.
A little tweakment.
Yeah, non-invasive.
A little freshen up at the dentist.
Yeah, it shouldn't be an issue. So what is he actually, he doesn't like? I think what's happening
here is
a lot of guys go around saying that they don't like the fake look, right? But yet so many girls have their lips filled. But they might necessarily have, like, you know, the pumped look, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that guys, like, perhaps a listener, not to make too many judgments, doesn't like, it's not that he doesn't like the look of it, but I think he doesn't like what that symbolizes for him in his head.
Yeah.
So he associates that with, like, girls that are like
weak in some way,
weak, insecure, trying to please men, which is like never the case, really. Like, I think most of the time when a girl gets lip filler, it's for herself. Like, it's not because guys don't really care that much, do you know?
Yeah,
it's for herself and other girls and the beauty standard.
Hey,
So I think that he's actually insecure.
by having
an issue with this. And like, okay, fair enough, she's insecure. Like, who isn't?
Yeah.
And has self-esteem issues and wants to look better. But like, he should really be supportive of that. and be like, yeah, babe, if I think you're gorgeous, but if you getting your lips done will make you look feel better, then work away. Be my guest. I'll even pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. Because he can take pleasure from the joy she has derived from her fresh new look and be happy for her.
If a partner has changed something physical about themselves, there might be an adjustment period or whatever. Mm. Or you might have thought, oh, well, I don't think they needed that. Yeah. But if it's like an actual dislike of it, then yeah, I would be questioning the relationship.
Yeah.
But also...
But it doesn't take much for me to question a relationship now. Yeah, you're, this podcast has probably proven.
You are highly suspicious at all times.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. But on the other hand, do you know... Maybe if we pull away from like judging him for being like insecure or anything like that, maybe he just doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Like maybe it just doesn't look nice for him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of tough tits because it's done and it's her face.
Yeah.
I don't know what, he can't be upset because it's not his body. So his final question is, am I right to be upset? He can't be upset to her.
That's not correct.
He can have his own feelings about it, but he's not allowed. I wouldn't recommend him voicing it to her.
No.
No. Do you remember we had a listener previously who didn't like his wife's stretch marks. Yeah. I can't remember the name, but it's kind of a similar situation where like, yeah, this has happened now and you saying that you don't like it isn't going to help anything. So you either have to figure out how to like it or be okay with it or, you know, be like, I'm breaking up with you because you got your lips done.
Yeah. Or he could, in the dead of night, just pop a tiny bit of hyaluronidase into her lips gradually.
Dissolve.
So that they dissolve.
Or you could put
just like a bit of an extraction.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Just maybe like a derma roller over the lips.
A leech. Or like he could develop some kind of
like a kiss, but it's a leech.
He could develop like a secret agent that works in an agent that will work in like lip gloss or whatever and be like, hey babe, I got you this. Yes. It's and make it like really like, I don't know, salty or something. So
sure, just dehydrate the lip.
To shrivel her lips.
So we're saying he needs to go back into the lab.
Mm.
It's just kind of hard because like I'm attracted to men. Mm. I think you two are too. No, I'm joking. There's not really any equivalent to getting your lips done that I could imagine.
For if your boyfriend got it done and he'd be like,
My boyfriend, I couldn't imagine a guy turning around and getting an instant kind of thing that might change his face. Is there, like, there's nothing to compare it to,
face
really.
Tattoo.
Yeah. But sorry, like, the amount of lads that go through phases of, like, I just want to look rotten for a while, like, they want to grow out their hair or whatever. It's like, what are you doing?
Neanderthals.
They go through that whole phase because they're like, I've never had a beard, so they grow, like, the most disgusting beard ever, like, that they don't trim.
Yeah.
And just to, like, prove that they can do it. And like, sure, the girls put up with all that and they're the ones that are meant to be more concerned with.
Listen, girls,
beauty,
straight men, not you, Niall, barely wash their bums properly. The things that women do have to be dealing with, do you know?
Yeah, toenails on your pizza. The grooming.
We nearly lost half our listenership when you brought that up.
Yeah, please. We've been having a lovely episode now.
We're not talking about that ever again. It's not his fault if he doesn't like how it looks, but you're just going to have to get over it, sadly.
Yeah, decide what you're doing, but you're not allowed to be upset or annoyed at her.
Okay. And just be happy that she's happy.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Do we have another letter?
I have one to finish us off then. It's just from Vanity Unfair.
Brilliant.
Vanity Funfair.
Dear Doomslayers, as a child, I was bullied a lot for being ugly because I started wearing glasses before anyone else. And children are mean, yeah. And the vast majority of the children who bullied me were boys. I'd say 99%. When I was a teenager, I didn't even bother combing my hair and brushing my teeth because I knew nothing could fix me and my self-esteem regarding physical appearance was non-existent. I hated taking photos. I grew up and I found myself very attractive at 25, but I've also become incredibly vain and self-absorbed, which is bothering me a lot. I've recently deleted social media like Instagram and Twitter because I use them mostly just to post attractive selfies and gain validation.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm entering a journey of self-discovery and growth. Twitter and Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok and the like are no longer in line with my values, but that's another story.
Okay.
Good for you.
Yeah. Mm. The thing is, my vanity is starting to disgust me a bit. Whenever I'm walking on the street or go out somewhere, I keep looking at people to see if they're looking at me because I'm oh so pretty and different. This isn't the type of thing I usually share with people because it makes me sound like a stuck-up bitch, which I totally understand.
No, I love this.
I know, I'm loving her. Yeah. I'm really happy that my self-esteem is better, but it's gotten out of hand. I really do love getting ready and doing my makeup simply because I enjoy the colours, the smells, and the process. And I wish that would be enough. I wish I could walk down the street and listen to my music in peace instead of internally thinking, are they looking at me or why didn't they look at me nonstop? I really want to be better. I'd appreciate it if you have any solid advice to give me. I want to be humble. I want to focus on myself and my goals more than my appearance. I'm so grateful, but this is getting out of hand. Oh, it's hard to be humble. I don't know the rest of the song.
I'm just so gorgeous. Help! Basically.
No, yeah. I love this because she's completely off her neck on the fact that she's now gorgeous.
Like, yeah, but she's disgusted at herself as
no,
well.
No, I love it. It's like
she deserves it a little bit, doesn't she?
Yeah, no. Like, and yeah. To quote Keira Knightley, one of her favourite lines is, but at least you're aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're on the right track because yes. you've already realized that you're like, oh God, I'm completely obsessed with myself and my looks and how I look.
Which is more than most narcissists can accomplish.
Yeah.
You know, she isn't one. She is self-aware, which is good.
Yeah. So she's figuring it out and that's good. And it mightn't be something that necessarily goes away, but the fact that you're like already realizing that, you know, social media is all just validation. That's the only reason you're doing it. And you're starting to pull away from that. I think you're on the right track. So I think you need to go to a little place called Lochdurg and you'll do a 3-day silent retreat, no mirrors. And if you want to take part, it has to be a written application. Now, it has to be a written application and you'll have to send that by marked post.
Okay.
Yeah, registered post.
I wonder, is she one of those girls who, when they were young, kind of ridiculed the vain girls because she didn't feel like it and thought, oh, I'm so intelligent and all that kind of stuff. And now that's where the disgust is coming from, that she likes how she looks. Because it's fun to be a vain girl sometimes. I like the ritual of going into the bathroom and all of us checking our appearances and going, you look so hot. Don't I look so hot?
Well, getting dolled up as a girl, as we all like know, but like that's part of the fun of doing drag and stuff, is that whole fantasy of like, you know, being this like super elevated, like feminine, you know, makeup for the gods, like the whole shebang. Like it's thrilling.
It is. And there's something like, for me, definitely, even just getting ready to go to work, there's something sort of like meditative in like the prep of like, just, you know, just doing all my bits, all my ablutions.
And
yeah, just went to the mirror. It's just
I
me.
Love it.
I'm just
lining out your syringes.
Yeah. Yes. Getting the snapping turtles ready. Yeah. So I love it. So like, even like, no matter what I have to go to or where I'm going, I generally will take an hour to get ready because I'm just like, this is me time.
And we know.
I know. But the transformation is fun.
Yeah.
That's what I love about drag as well. And she, I don't know, I 100% agree with what Layla said, that she has become what she used to have contempt for. And that's why she is so disgusted by herself now, because she's become what she hated.
There's no need to feel disgust. So like, this can just be a very neutral thing. You like how you look, like, and that's okay. And you can think like, obviously it's really unhealthy to get into, and if those mindsets are really affecting you where you're like, is everyone looking at me, blah 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 blah, then that's the time to kind of step in. But you sound very self-aware, to be honest, and like, if you notice someone looking at you, think, oh, he's looking at me because I'm hot or whatever, and that's fine. There's no need to over moralize this or something.
It's a tricky one as well, because like, if you realize that you're like self-obsessed, or like, you know, now that she's realized that, then now she's also thinking about that, which is all about her again. So maybe just find something else to think about.
I think, you know, service to others could help if she maybe got involved in some charitable works, but not a charity luncheon which she hosts. That would be highly gratifying.
No, because what am I going to wear?
No, not a glam event.
No, something that will strip you of all beauty.
Yes.
But I think as well, as like a woman in this world, you're constantly being told to not feel good enough. So I'm very conscious to like, when I'm asked questions like, do you feel beautiful? I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, a radical thing to think. So just,
it is.
Just, you know, accept that you're pretty. And like, I'm not doing that thing anymore of when someone says you look lovely, going, ah, no, I don't.
I'm trying to stop doing that as well.
Like, I'm like, oh, thanks so much. I picked this dress myself and I love it.
Mm. Yeah, you don't want to be always going, oh, I look like a piece of shit.
Well, because it's insulting to the person who gave you the compliment, isn't it? Because you're basically like, your taste is rotted and you're incorrect in what you think.
Yeah.
You know, because they're giving you a nice moment and you're like, don't like it. Do you know? But I do wonder, I think she probably has still some healing to do because the hyperfixation on it, obviously it's translated into, you know, feeling triumphant at it, but she's still very fixated on how she's being perceived by others. Mm. So, yeah, she's dead right. She needs to just take the focus off that.
Yeah.
And yeah, just try and focus on other things.
Read a book.
Maybe read a book.
Get a job.
And maybe it could be one of those choose your own adventure novels because they're more engrossing.
Mm. Yeah. Write a book.
Write a book.
About yourself.
Donna, what's your favorite physical feature about yourself?
Is this going to be where you cut me off?
And fortunately, that is all we have time for this week on Doomslayers. If you would like to share your doom with us, please follow the link in the episode description on Spotify and via the link in our bio on Instagram at DoomslayersPod. Remember to give us a follow there too. And remember,
trust is like a mirror. You can fix it if it's broken, but you can still see the cracks in that motherfucker's reflection.
Doomslayers are not responsible for any injuries, impalements, prolapses, tweakments, fissures, timeshares, negative equity, large hadron collisions, small savings, epiphanies, or failed two-step verifications. Hereunto experienced and or injured by the listener in response to any advice of ministers and witness whereof the parties hereunto have set their hands to these presents as a deed on the day, month, and year here and before mentioned. Doomslayers Incorporated is a subsidiary of Hunky Fireman Calendars Limited, which is a registered trademark, acquisition of fatherly funded fantasies and so on. Any attempts to slander or sodomize the Doomslayer name could result in cancellation of any outstanding prize bonds and or death.